Amen. Would you go ahead and be seated? Kids can be dismissed. Oh, it's good to be loved. Praise you, Jesus. Yay. All right, we're still talking about Grace Awakened. We're on part four. So I'm going to ask each one of you to stand. Go ahead and stand. That wasn't hard. This is the hard part. So I'm going to ask you to change your seat. I'm going to ask you to go to somewhere else and sit at another position. All of you. Pastor Ace, you can take your little board with you if you need to. No, I'm just kidding. Just go and sit with somebody else, crowd their table. Lots of room. Yeah, switch tables, yeah. Thank you for doing it. Thank you. You have to move. Change seats. Change something. Lots of room up here with Brock. Don't be afraid of the front row. If you are going to understand grace, you are going to have to change your position. You are going to get up and you are going to have to move. And you're going to have to begin to appropriate the grace of God. You're going to have to begin to just shift some things around. It's like that in everything that we do. If you are going to listen and hear what Rebecca shared this morning, you're going to have to change your spiritual position on it. And not, if you want God to increase in our lives, amen, you're going to have to change our position. You're going to have to do something that you haven't done before. We cannot continue to just come to church, hear something, go out, and then come back again and hear something different, sing the same songs. If we want something to shift, the bottom line is how bad do we want it? That is the bottom line, okay? So, I want to talk to you about grace this morning, Grace Awakened. First of all, let's go a little bit further. Oh, I was looking for Brenda to be here. Brenda takes notes. She would have, oh, she's back there. Yay, thank you, Brenda. Okay, so, what have you heard about grace in these last teachings? What have you heard about grace? You can keep it right there, Brenda, for a while. Just shout it out. What have you heard about grace? God's ability. I'm going to get all of you notebooks. What have you heard about grace? That it's God's ability. Have you heard that grace changes you? So if grace... That's right. That's the acronym for it. It absolutely is that. What else? Think. Grace sets you free. Yes, it does. What are you full of? Okay, so you learned that. Okay, so you. I know I'm putting you on the spot this morning. I'm not just trying to pull some stuff out of you. Cindy, do you have notes? Not at this table. Okay, here's some things that we learned about grace. It's God's ability. Where does grace come from? Grace comes from Jesus. It's not hard. It comes from Jesus. That's where grace comes from. Grace means I'm free from sin. And then last week we learned that we could frustrate, or scripture talks about doing despite. Yeah, making it void. that we could do despite and we could frustrate the grace of God. Melissa. Amen. So grace doesn't cover up our sin and say, okay, that here's the covering. Where's my grace box? Okay, so here's the covering. Grace does not cover up our sin. Doesn't. It exposes it and then gives us the power to live righteously. That's what grace does. So how do we live every day with the grace of God, sort of like the elephant in the room or the hammer and the nail, right? So grace is this big elephant in the room. How do I live with that? Do I just ignore God's grace? Yes, we can. We can push it away. We can ignore it. Or do I embrace the grace of God? We found out last week that there's even a grace for driving tests, right? There's a grace for everything. So what's the role of grace in my life? So this isn't just to give you information about grace. It's to allow the grace of God, as we learn about it, to absolutely change our lives. When I think about grace, of course, I'm, you know, Baptist background, so there's a lot of songs about grace, 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 grace. But I never learned about the next level of grace. I always thought it was just God saved me, and I was so, you can never understand how happy I was that God saved me, and that all my sin was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Grace, because of the grace of God. And so this song comes to mind. It's an old hymn, "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing." Because that's what I think. It's hard for me to express about grace when I preach on it, when I talk about it. So if I just had a few more languages that I could say grace in, you know. My great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. He breaks the power of canceled sin. And I'm glad that my sin has been canceled, but I'm more glad that it has no power over me. I'm glad that He took away all my sin from the past, but I'm glad today, more glad than ever. Oh, happy day. That grace is there for me, empowers me to live a godly Christian life. He sets the prisoner free. I know what it is to be let go out of jail. Maybe some of you do as well. Maybe like Rebecca, it's confession time this morning. But I know what it is to hear that door clang behind you. It's a horrible sound. And then you've got these little four walls and that's it. And then somebody comes and opens the door and says, somebody paid bail for you. And it's like He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood avails for me. And I feel like that about the grace of God. And so we've looked at slide number two, grace is, that you can leave that up there, God's ability. His weakness is our greatest asset. I hope you're understanding that. And we'll just get into that a little bit more, because it's not about, well, then I'm just not going to do anything. No, His grace is God's ability. His grace comes through Jesus, through fellowship with Him. And through fellowship prayer. So what we do when we worship, we're fellowshipping with God. I got up the other day and said, Lord, I seem to just get up in the morning and just start, oh Lord, so-and-so, I need you to heal so-and-so, and I need this to happen, and then I think, well, this isn't fellowship prayer. That's interceding, that's standing in the gap. But so fellowship with Jesus is when I'm singing to Him, when I'm singing about Him, when I'm saying, you're a good, good Father, His grace comes. That's how we get His grace, through that kind of fellowship prayer. And then grace means I'm free. He breaks the power of canceled sin. I'm free. I feel like just sometimes just running around and running around. I guess it was last Christmas that we had downstairs and the kids got a little Christmas present and Walker got something that he loved so much and he just took off running. He held his little thing up in the air and did like a victory lap around, you know. He was so excited that he got this thing, and I think there's the childlike faith that we need to say, I'm free. I don't need to sin anymore. I don't have to sin anymore. because I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. And so let's not frustrate the grace of God. We learned last week how we did that. We reject the grace of God. We keep sinning. And then after we've sinned and done our little thing, we go back and we get some more grace, and how that it's harder. So I want to talk to you this morning about different measures of grace this morning. And so I always find that illustrations kind of help us, even if it's just a Kleenex box. So I have these little things that are something I absolutely love. Do you know what they're called? What did you say? They are matryoshkas. And so inside of each one of these little matryoshkas, this is, you open them up and there's another, the grace of God, full of the grace of God. Not one of them is identical. They are all different. Where's the children when I need them? They're all different. But every time you think, oh, there's nothing left, there's no grace left, there's one more, and one more, and one more. Now, Rebecca tried to get me to downsize and give my matryoshkas away. It's not happening. Passing them on to the grandchildren. We're full of the grace of God, and there is a manifold or different measures of grace. So some have a little bit of grace, and some have a whole lot of grace. This one has so many inside it. Manifold. Many measures of grace. Romans 5, 16 and 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned. Who's he talking about? What one man did death reign through? Come on, somebody else besides Linda. Who else? Adam. First man, Adam, sinned. Life was perfect before the man. I'm sorry, before Adam came. Right? Life was perfect. So if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, I saw some of you looking like, but Eve did it too. So it's that mankind thing, right? Oh, Noel, did you say that out loud? Death reigned through one. Much more those who receive how much grace? Abundance of grace. An abundance of grace. Sometimes it's hard to get it out. Sometimes it's quite noisy. Anything will preach. An abundance of grace. Grace that just goes on and on and on and on. Grace, grace, grace. No matter what happens, I'm full of grace. I have so much grace. I have an abundance of grace. I have an abundance of grace. Those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life. So how are you and I going to reign in life? Through grace. Come on, it's not just, well, I'm going to reign through Jesus. Yeah, you are, but Jesus is full of grace, and of his grace we received grace for grace. So that's how we're going to reign through life. That's how we're going to be happy through life. That's how the joy is going to come, because of the grace of God in our life, through the abundance of grace. So there's not just a little bit of grace, there's an abundance of grace. In every one of these, there's more and more and more and more and more. And that's how you and I are. There's different measures of grace. Some grace is really big and really fat. And other grace, yeah, there's just, you just have a little bit of grace, because you know what? You're just doing this one little thing, so that's all you need is a little bit of grace. But if you step out, you'll get more grace and more grace and more grace. The more you step out and do things that you have no ability to do, you have to make sure you're called to do those things. But the more you do that, the more grace we'll get. We'll get this abundance of grace. And so in order to reign in life, anybody want to reign in life? Anybody not want to be discouraged, depressed? I see that hand. You're going to reign in life. Anybody else want to reign in life? I've preached here for 20 years and told you how important response is. How many of you want to reign in life? I want to reign in life. I don't want to just go through life, que sera, sera, what will be, will be. I want to reign and rule and reign in this life, not just in the next life. So here's the difference between law and grace. Law produces sin, the scripture says, but grace produces righteousness, and righteousness produces life. So we can't get hung up on the law, but instead we need to go to the throne of grace. Remember, there's a throne of grace where we can receive and obtain grace. Romans 6, 13 and 14. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. So sin doesn't have dominion over us because we're not under the law any longer. We're under grace. Now, again, the illustration, grace doesn't cover up my sin. That's not what grace is all about. I can speed down the road when it says it's 50 and I can do 100 because I'm under grace. That's not what not under the law means. It means that I have the grace not to speed. Right? Doesn't mean that I can sin in any way, sleep around, you know, smoke pot, do this, do that, you know, commit adultery. It doesn't mean that I can do all that and then everything is great and everything is okay because I'm not under law, I'm under grace. That is what some Christians are saying and believing. Do you know that what you sang this morning is quite controversial when you sang God 3-in-1? Quite controversial. We had people come into the church many years ago that did not believe in the Trinity and started talking to people about it. So we had to ask them to leave because we believe in the Trinity. We believe God is three beings in one. We believe that. And so that was your declaration this morning. As we were singing it, I thought, you know, there are a lot of places that no longer believe that anymore. That doctrine has just been washed away because you can't explain it doesn't mean it's not God. In fact, sometimes I think it's the opposite. If you can explain it, how can that be God? Because he's so unexplainable, right? And so grace. And so because we say we're not under law, but I'm under grace, doesn't give us the legal right to sin. What it does is gives us the power not to sin. That's what grace does. And so we talked about sin that hopefully none of you are involved in. But what about our attitudes that can be quite sinful? What about our hatred, our bitterness? What about what Rebecca shared this morning about unforgiveness and judgments that we make? See, we're Christians. You know, every answer to every problem is Jesus. But we don't apply that. Because when somebody talks to us about bitterness and unforgiveness and things like that, well, we as a church hardly even, and I mean church in large, we hardly even think that those things are sin. You know, we don't want to call my unforgiveness sin. Someone hurt me really bad, and so don't I have a right? Guess what? You don't have a right. In fact, as a Christian, you don't have any rights. You gave them all to Jesus. I don't have the right to be mad. I don't even have the right to be sad or depressed. I don't have those rights anymore. It's so incredibly freeing. It doesn't put me in a box and say, I don't have any rights. Like when the police threw me in jail and I was in the back of a paddy wagon and I said, I have my rights. And he said, when you're in my paddy wagon, you don't have any rights. It was like, okay, I'll just sit back here and see what's going to happen. He seemed quite mean. But as a believer, it's freeing. Because Jesus owns my rights. Amen? And so, says, and don't present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God, for sin shall not have dominion over you. You are not under law, but under grace. So how does that happen? It happens because it's whoever I yield myself to. If I yield myself to that sin, see, that's the key right there. That is the key. It's who I, what I yield to, who I yield myself to. And you know what yield means? It means to give in to, whoever I'm giving in to, whoever I yield myself to. It's the key. It's our choice. We talk a lot about choices, and we make choices. And so, why doesn't sin have any dominion over me? Not just because I'm saved, not just because I've received the saving grace of Jesus. Okay? That's why we see a lot of, or even as ourselves, why we struggle at first in Christianity. Why we struggle, but I've received Jesus. Why have I got all this stuff inside me? Why I can't seem to stop doing this. I can't seem to stop thinking this way. I can't seem to stop this unforgiveness every time I think about that person. Every time their name is mentioned, I can't stop thinking about it. I'm in connection with a young woman, probably not so young now. I met her probably 18 years ago. She was badly abused in satanic ritual abuse. I remember I was at a camp meeting and she came forward and I introduced her to the pastor. She sat on the stage like this, broken, weeping. And as she sat there, I introduced her to the pastor. He reached out and shook her hand or touched her shoulder. She flipped backwards because of all the abuse that she had gone to. Yet she had received Jesus. And sometimes we just slap Jesus on top of things. Come on. We just, and some of you are looking like, whoa, when's the lightning going to hit Pastor Joy? You know? we just put Jesus, you know. He's the answer to everything, Jesus. You know, it's like the kids in Sunday school that we're talking about, you know, this thing that gathers nuts and hides in trees. And one little kid said, it sounds like a squirrel, but because we're in church, it must be Jesus. And so we just kind of put Jesus, and we never go further than our box of grace. And life is hard. Life is hard with just Jesus. But if I can get the grace of God, if I can get the multifaceted grace of God, layer upon layer, fullness of his grace. If I can get that, grace makes things easy. You should have remembered that because that's a good one. Grace makes things easy. Grace makes me loving you easy. Grace makes you loving me easy. It makes things easy. But we have to go and get the grace. We have to go to the throne of grace and get his grace. And if we're willing, a marriage never needs to break up. A marriage never needs to say, but I just don't love that person anymore. A marriage never needs to collapse and break up if both parties are willing, yielding, not just to each other, but yielding to the grace of God. Grace, 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 grace. So there might be something really hard in your life that you're having trouble forgiving. Unforgiveness, by the way, never just stays on top. It has roots like a tree, and it just sucks the life right out of you. And then remember about the judgments that you need to get the grace of God for. It's a powerful, powerful force. And so we're not under law, but we're under grace, which means I don't have to sin. So grace doesn't give you an excuse to sin. It frees you from sin. You don't have to be overpowered by sin. Temptation will be there, but you don't have to yield. As I said before, that's how Jesus went through the cross. He went to the throne of grace, Scripture says, and he got grace to help. And so the key is to yield to grace. Trying to fight temptation when you haven't yielded to prayer doesn't work. If you don't pray, your life will be hard. And it will be hard because it's through fellowship prayer that I get grace. That's what makes Christianity life hard. And grace doesn't just float around in the air and, you know, grace comes through Jesus, but we have to go to the throne of grace. We have to go and get the grace, right? It's just like if I want to eat, I have to go to the grocery store. I have to go to the fridge. I have to go and get something. And so we have to go and we have to get the grace of God. And how we do that is through fellowship prayer. I remember I used to babysit some couple of kids, and they were of a different faith. And so I would talk to them when they got their allowance about tithing. And I would encourage them, you know, you need to give some to Jesus, you know. And the one little boy said, you know what? I just leave my money on the dresser. And I think if God wants it, he can come and get it. Grace isn't like that. Grace is not like God's here. Here I am, God, you know what I need, so bring it. Give it to me, God. No, we have to go and we have to get the grace of God. So I've found, number five, if you labor in prayer, you won't labor in everything else. And so if you're weak in prayer, you'll be weak in grace. Sorry. But if your prayer just consists of running out the door, God, thanks for this day, and off we go, that's weak. It's not about time frame. I'm not talking about time. But if you're weak in prayer, you will be weak in grace. Because grace is important. Because grace is what? God's ability in you to do what you can't do. That's what grace is. And so if we just carry on and keep saying that God's grace will cover it, then we're frustrating or doing despite to the grace of God. Romans goes on to say, sin shall not, because sin produces, because law produces sin. So sin doesn't need to reign over us because I'm not under law. Now I'm living under God's ability not to sin. Stop struggling with sin and yield to prayer. God's grace is the power to walk away from whatever enslaves you. Grace produces righteousness, but prayer produces grace. Grace affects you. Carry on with Romans 6, verses 15 and 16. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? God forbid. That was the biggest, the greatest thing that somebody could ever say. It's great, great, then don't do that. It's God forbid. Absolutely, this is going to be so dangerous. Do you know that to whom you yield or who you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey? Whether of sin, where are we? Romans 6. Go to the next slide, please, 15 and 16. You are that one's slaves who you obey. And so if you sin and you yield to sin, then you are a slave of that. We have any former slaves in here? Yes, we do. Yeah, former slaves of sin, whatever degree it took. You were formerly a slave to sin. But when you presented yourself to Jesus Christ and got grace, then you weren't a slave to that sin anymore. Whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. Then he goes on to say, God be thanked. So, hallelujah, we are free from sin. We are servants of righteousness. We humble ourselves and we approach the throne of grace. We obtain grace, but don't get caught in laboring. We sang a song this morning, too. It had the words in it, labor in vain. How does one labor in vain? Well, we would probably say, well, we labor in vain because we're not doing it like for Jesus. We're not doing it as unto the Lord. But really the labor in vain part, you know, with labor in vain, doing it with, there's no results. There's just no results in what I'm laboring. Been there, done that, right? Labor in vain. But if we do it with grace, and again, grace does not mean, grace is strong, grace is tough, grace is a force. And so if we labor in grace, I'm not laboring in vain. If I do what I'm doing by the grace of God, then I'm not laboring in vain. You know, it never ceases to amaze me that the Apostle Paul, who had a brilliant, brilliant mind, he was a brilliant man, yet all he talks about in every book he ever wrote was about the grace of God. Everything he gives to churches, beginning, ending of the letter, grace, grace. Not this nice little, God's grace to you. Oh, you just need his grace. Don't you need his grace? That's not what grace is. That's just so frustrating. Grace, grace, grace. And so Paul's credentials were so impressive, yet he depended on the grace of God. Read through some of Paul's letters, realizing that in the midst of it, he's doing this, saying this by the grace of God. I read this. Was there ever a man who was given as many gifts as the Apostle Paul? Judging from how much God wrote through him, how much God used his mind, intellect, training, experience, yieldedness, willing to work and sacrifice himself on behalf of God and the church, it might have been easy for him to have been puffed up. Yet he himself said that nobody worked harder than he did. Remember he said that? I labor more abundantly than all of the apostles. But he wasn't bragging. He was bragging on the grace of God. He wasn't saying I can do all these things. He was saying because of the grace that God has given me, I can do these things. No wonder he wrote so much about grace. Which is pretty remarkable when you think of how brilliant he was. Because really, sometimes, isn't it the professors, isn't it the brilliant people that have this resistance towards God? And I can just do this. But you can do so much more if once we receive the grace of God. He recognized who he was by the grace of God. In fact, 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. So he said in 1 Corinthians, it's the next slide, 15, 9, and 10, I am the least of all the apostles. Now he said that because of his, because he didn't have the opportunity like the other apostles spending 3 years with Jesus. He didn't have that time. He was just knocked off his horse, literally saved, you know, spent some time with Jesus, but not the time, physical one-on-one type of time. And so he said, I'm the least of these. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted the church. And so he's got this, I mean, if you had murdered Christians and had done some horrible, horrible things in your life, shot people, beat people up, murdered people, etc., etc., if you had done all that, you might have been like the Apostle Paul, feeling just a little inferior, thinking, you know, like I really can't, I don't know, I'm a Christian, I go to church, but I'm just gonna sit and take it in because, oh my gosh, if you knew my background, if you knew what I had done, I'm not going to name stuff because I'm looking at you and I know stuff, right? But if you knew my background, and the Apostle Paul could say that he murdered Christians. You remember what he did to Stephen? Had him stoned, stood there, and had someone murdered and killed. There are people like that today. It's not foreign to us. There are outlaw gangs, etc., etc. And so how does someone like that come into the kingdom of God? Yes, they get saved. Thank you, Jesus. My sins are washed away. I don't bear those sins anymore. But somehow we still bear those sins still. Because we haven't learned and understood the grace of God. When you get saved with all that baggage, when you get saved, the grace of God comes and wipes that away. It doesn't wipe it out of my brain, though. It doesn't wipe it out of my mind. It doesn't wipe it out of my soul, my personality. I still remember those horrible things that I've done. And so I go no further than just coming from darkness into light. I go no further than that until I learn and understand the grace of God. And that's what the Apostle Paul did. He felt inferior around those other apostles, around those other disciples. He said, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted the church. But go on, 1 Corinthians 15, 9 and 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, but not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Because he was full of the grace of God. Full of the grace of God. That's what he was. He was full of the grace of God, and he wasn't saying, I'm just staying like this. I'm full of the grace of God. And every time another layer comes off, all happens is more grace comes out. Every time you pull something else off, every time something comes into your life and my life that says, you'll never make it, you're not smart enough, you're not good enough, out comes the grace of God. Over and over and over again. Full of the grace of God. Stop saying, I'm not loved, I'm not cared for, I'm not smart enough, I'm not this. Stop it. You're frustrating the grace of God. You frustrate the grace of God when you say, I can't do this. God says, good, now if you'll let me, if you'll yield to me, I can do it through you. I can love through you. I can give joy through you. Oh, joy. Full of joy. This was in my car, and when I put the brakes on, it would go. And I'd think, oh, hallelujah, joy. And I'd go back. Oh, hallelujah. I wish there was something besides the bell inside of it that I could give each one of you a tiny bell to wear on your belt so that you would know the grace of God brings so much joy. So much joy in the grace of God. We're full of the grace of God and joy comes. So as Paul might have been tempted to feel inferior because he didn't have all the experience, he said he labored even harder. Okay, so there's the kind of disclaimer that we can just sit back and, you know, I'm not going to prepare a sermon. You know, I'm not going to work at this and prepare this. I'm just going to do it by the grace of God. No, I'm going to labor harder than ever before and get the grace to do it. So grace is in the laboring part as well. But not I, he says, I labored even harder. Oh, but it was the grace of God, the empowering presence of God. That's what his grace is. He learned how to live every day with God's grace, the elephant in the room. He learned how to live every day with the grace of God. He learned the role of grace in his life. He didn't exhaust himself trying to please him. That is so religious and so exhausting. I have to please God. I have to pray X number of times for X number of... I have to do this. I have to do this. No, grace says, I get to do it. That's what the grace of God says. I get to worship. I get to come to church. Sometimes I'd like to just send a little questionnaire around and just say, why are you here? Why do you come to church? Why do you come to church? Why do you not sleep in on a Sunday morning? You've worked hard all day. 6 days shall thou labor, so good for you. You've kept the law. 6 days you've labored. Why are you here? And I don't mean it as a, what are you doing here? You don't do anything. I don't mean it like that. But why do we come to church? Why do you come to church? Do you come because somebody made you? Because, well, it's just in my past, I grew up in church, so it's Sunday, we should go to church. I come because my mother, father, daughter, brother, sister asked me to come. Hear those bells? Joy bells. Really, seriously, what is that? Somebody's phone? Hallelujah. There's a good idea. Let's put bells as our phone ring. Then you'll be reminded of the grace of God. And you'll get brownie points with me if you do it this week. Grace, grace, grace. So he didn't exhaust himself trying to please him. He rested in the knowledge that God loved him just the way he was. Nothing can change God's love for you. Nothing. Nothing changes the love of God, but we can receive his love. We can understand that love. And the grace of God gives us the power to carry out what we are assigned to do. See, every person in this room has an assignment. Will we get the grace to do it, or will we labor hard? Some of you are assigned to be parents. You need to get the grace, the big, manifold grace of God, right? You need lots of grace in the things that we do. Sometimes, remember, you just need a little bit of grace. That's good. A little dabble do you for that, but not for this. I need big grace for this. I need big grace for my family going through this horrible time. I need big grace for that. I need big grace for my friends. I need lots and lots of grace for this person. Someone said to me, used to come to this church, they said, I asked them why they were no longer attending their other church, and they said that the pastor's wife said to them, I don't know, so-and-so, I just don't have the grace for you. And I thought, number one, how hurtful, but how ignorant about the grace of God. Because you can get the grace for people. You can get the grace. You get the grace every morning to sit here and listen to me preach. You think it's just you and you just like me. No, it's the grace of God. You get the grace for it. And there are people that God hasn't called to certain places because they don't have the grace for it. They don't have the grace for this ministry or that ministry or, you know. There's a whole big, big church called The Blessing that come and helps at the Dream Center. And their main purpose is to bless and to go and help. And so they come to the Dream Center regularly and they send 5 or 6 people. If you want to join that church, you have to be in a cell group. And every person of that cell group, which there's probably under, you know, maybe 10-ish in each cell group, you have to do something. You have to be a blessing. So some of them, we're blessed because of that, but that's their mandate. Now there are other people that say, no, I'm not into that. They don't have the grace for it. They don't have the grace for it. You can get the grace for it. You can get the grace for it. I don't know whose bell keeps ringing, but I like it. All right, Brock. Brock is my illustrated sermon. Hallelujah. Okay, so just like the Apostle Paul, we need to learn to live each day by the grace of God. We need to get lots of grace, or we need to get a little bit of grace. God, how much grace do I need for this? Do I need lots of grace, or do I need just a little bit of grace? God, how much grace do I need for this, for this, for this? God, do I need just a little bit of grace, or do I need lots of grace? Oh, you see in this one, there's even the tiniest, weeniest bit of grace. You just need just a little bit of grace for that. But then there are other times where you need big, big, big grace, Father. And so how do you get that? Oh, wait, it goes on. Look at this. You can barely even see that. That's why Rebecca's not making me give these up. Grace. Grace. Unlike the Matryoshkas, there's no ending to God's grace. There's nothing more in this. The only time we won't need grace is when we pass and go on to be with Jesus. Then you come into this grace room that's so awesome and so amazing. Grace. Grace, grace. So 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has, because I'm talking about manifold grace of God. Sorry if you didn't get that. Or the manifest presence of the grace of God. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. Give it out. What are you doing with the grace that you're full of? What are you doing with it? You're just sitting there with all these gifts. Remember, gifts and grace have the same root Greek word, cherish, right? So charismatic gifts. So what are you doing with this gift? As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the many-folded grace of God. Whatever you need grace for, it's there. When I go to God and say, all right, you tell me, what do you need grace for? What do you need grace for? To forgive. There's a grace for that. God sits up in heaven with this grace dispenser. You know, the Pez dispensers, they should be grace dispensers. Melissa, what do you need grace for? You just went through something with your mom. What do you need grace for? Faith. There's grace for that. Let's see how big that is. Tell me, what do you need grace for? You need grace to be the mom of a young adolescent boy? He's not adolescent anymore, is he? He's a young man. You need grace for that? Jody, what do you need grace for? She needs lots of grace. Pastor Ace, what do you need grace for? Not to eat those cupcakes in front of you, that's what. What do you need grace for? Jody? Grace. That's what you need grace for. Life is tough. Life is hard. No matter whether you're single, widowed, young, old, kids, no kids. Brad, what do you need grace for? Thank you. Not to be so judgmental of others. That's an honest answer. Not that your others weren't, but yeah, I can't do that by myself. It's who I am. That's how I was raised. I was raised critical. Everything my parent did, my dad judged me on this and judged me on that. I need grace for that. I need grace for that. I need grace to be a single dad, single mom. I need grace for that. Hey, you need grace to be a widow. You need grace to live in your basement on your own now with people trampling up above you. You need grace for that, Doreen. You just need to go to the throne of grace. Let's make it real. We just need to go to the throne of grace. It's not just this flowery sermon that applaud me and pay me later. Although you can't do that. That would be a wonderful grace gift. No, just kidding. Right? But let's get real about this. My mom has been diagnosed with cancer. I need grace to have joy, to dispense joy to her and dispense faith to her. I need grace for that. I need grace because my marriage is hard. My marriage is tough. We're two people thrown together, bonded together, and you do it your way and I do it my way. And I need grace for that. I need grace for the way you drive. Because you drive so slow and I want to drive faster. And you take a route that I don't want to go on that route. I need grace for that. You know what I've got for that? If I don't have grace, I've got a big mouth for that. That's what I've got. I've got criticism for that. That's what I've got. I've got judgment and unforgiveness, even for something as silly as that. I've got grace for that. I've also got my own car for that, so hallelujah. Listen, let me stop there and tell you, grace comes in different forms. So, most of you have been to my house. I have a fairly wide driveway and a long sidewalk around the side. And so I snovel my snow. I shovel my snow, usually on my own. Brock often comes and helps. Somebody comes and helps. But this year, and I got the grace for it. I did. But this year, the grace is coming in the form of a company. Yeah, I hired a company to come and shovel. Because what I don't have grace for is the snowplow people who only plow the snow onto my corner sidewalk. And so the grace that I'm getting this year is coming in the form of a company. I got the grace for that. Next week, I'm going to talk to you about giving grace. Because I've also got the money for that. Sorry, Brock, I didn't pay you. Grace. Pardon? Yeah. No, you won't. You'll give them to Value Village. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards. Okay, what do you need the grace for? What do you have the grace for? What grace gift have you got? What's in you that you can give out? Are you a joy dispenser? Are you someone when you light up the room, when you walk into a room, that people say, oh my gosh, I'm so glad that you're here? Have you got prayer, intercession, the grace to do that inside of you? And so when I have a need, I pick up the phone and say, let's call Linda. She'll hit the floor. I know that, right? What's inside of you? If you don't know what grace you've got inside of you, you will not dispense it. You will not give it out. You will not have the confidence to give out that grace. Have you got the grace to preach? Lead worship, teach Sunday school? What grace gift is inside of you? We've all received grace for grace, right? We're all full of the grace of God. Full of the grace. Full of His grace. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. So, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And so there he is connecting grace with gift. So what gift is inside of you that you can give out? Some of you are grace to cook, are grace to bake. I don't have the grace for that. But I have you in my life. Right? So out comes your grace gift. I've seen you give Brock privately butter tarts. Oh, Tammy, what's this one for? That's for Brock. You're dispensing your grace gift. It's not just a butter tart. It's a gift of grace. What are you doing? I've seen some of you know that little Hopi. No, yeah, it is Hopi, who loves jewelry. I've seen some of you dispense jewelry to her. You wear the cheap stuff on those days, and you dispense your grace to her. You give her a little gift. Church, this is awesome. Grace. Grace. God's grace. Stewards. A steward is someone who has charge of or possession of something. So you are a steward. You are in charge of and have possession of. Sorry, I said I wouldn't do that, but did I get you? Of the manifold grace of God. The manifold grace of God. I have so much grace. What am I going to do with it? Am I going to share when it's blessing time? Look what God, look what the Lord has done. Thank you. Grace of God. Grace, grace, grace. Listen, okay, let me get a little more real. Some of you don't like sitting around the table. You got the grace for it. That's awesome. I'm called to this church. I don't like tables. In fact, I'm on a slant the whole time. But you got the grace for it. How do I know that? Because you're here. And how do I know that? You have joy. Remember last week I talked about Paul talking to the Corinth church who had a lot of trouble. They had a lot of problems. And they were stingy as well. And yet what Paul said to them was, you need grace. And so, but he knew that they had grace. And how he knew they had grace was because he saw their gifts. They're a very gifted church in tongues, interpretation, all those gifts. And so now we see that Paul knows that somebody has manifold grace because they have joy. Listen, it is not normal in this day and age to be joyful. Happy once in a while, but it is not normal to be joyful. You know that. All you have to do is go to some store and try to buy something from somebody who's just so miserable and so cranky. I love Pastor Ace because he just talks to them all the more. He keeps telling them jokes until finally they laugh. I try to clue them in, have a sign that says, quickly laugh, and he'll leave. But it's like a challenge to him is to make someone laugh. Stewards, manifold. The word manifold is only used a few times in Scripture. Many-fold. But there is an intensity to that Greek word. So to fold up a piece of paper and say, here's many-fold, or I think there's some part in a car that's a manifold. Maybe it has folds in it. It probably does. And so we see the manifold, and to look at a piece of paper folded or to try and illustrate manifold is wonderful, but it lacks the intensity that the Greek word manifold grace of God says. And so there's an intensity and there's a diversity to that. You see that one doesn't look like the other. They look different. They sound different. My grace has exploded. Corbin, how'd you like to come and pick these up for me and put them back on my little table, please? Thank you. Grace, grace, grace. Paul received grace to be an apostle. When we're on the road, Pastor Ace and I received grace to do it. Grace, grace, grace. It took grace to travel around the nation and sleep in different people's homes, different beds, different feelings. Always, when you're tired from a meeting, you just want to go home. Well, I did. Pastor Ace wanted to talk. You know, I said to the girls when they were like 2 years old, I wanted to get you a little t-shirt that said, help, I've started talking and I can't stop. But after a meeting, Pastor Ace was like that. He just wanted to have coffee and chat with people and wind down. I did not. I just wanted to go to bed. Maybe that's the introvert part of me, but I just wanted to go to bed. Thank you very much. Nicely done. Grace. And so I had to get grace for that. I had to get grace to tell the same story over and over and over again. I had to get grace to answer the same question from this person's house to this person's house. I had to get grace to eat a meal that I didn't really care for. I had to get grace to eat a meal that I was totally full. I just ate 10 minutes ago, and now these people have prepared this huge roast beef dinner for me. I had to get grace for that, and I went to the throne of grace, gently with this one, because this one wants to explode. I went to the throne of grace, and I got grace to help, because I had learned that grace was more than just saving grace, that there was more in me. More grace, 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 grace. So we had to get grace. I had to get Grace to sing the same song over and over again. I had to get Grace to have people just stare at me while I sang a song. No response at all. I had to get Grace to be a pastor. You have to get Grace to be obedient to the faith. Grace for that. God, I can't do this. I can't live the way the Bible says. I need your grace. I can't be joyful. I need your grace. God gives grace to the humble. I had to put my pride down. Submit to God, because there's even a grace for submitting to God. Resist the devil. There's a grace for that. Grace for missionaries that are sent to foreign countries. How can they do that? You wonder how they can do that? How can people minister in a Muslim country? How can they do that? They give grace for it. They've been bestowed a grace for that. You remember the story about Corrie Ten Boom? When she said to her dad, "Dad, I do not know when they come to take us away as, you know, people that have protected the Jews, people that are not German. When they come to take me away, if you haven't seen The Hiding Place, it's worth digging it out and dusting it off. Dad, I don't know how I'm going to do that. I don't think I can walk through that. I don't think I can live through that." And he said, "Corrie, when we're going on a trip and you go on the train, when do I give you the ticket?" And she said, "Just before we get on the train." He said, "That's the grace of God. You don't need the grace of God for children when you don't have any. But when you're going to have some, you'll get the grace of God if you go to the throne of grace." Ever wondered how people can get the grace to do so many things for God? Because they work hard and they get the grace. There are manifold ministry graces and different measures of God's grace. And if he's called you, he'll give you the grace for it. But be sure that he's called you. Be sure that you have a confirmation of that. Story is told of a young man in Bible college who believed that he was called to preach. And after a few attempts, the dean realized this man is definitely not called to preach. And so he calls him in, sits him down, and gently tells him, "You're just not called to preach. It's not interesting. It's not challenging. You don't hold people's attention. There's nothing relevant to it." The young man insisted he was called. And this time the dean said a bit firmer, "It's boring, son, and you may be called to preach, but no one's called to listen." Make sure you're called to what God has called you to do. Don't draw back from it. Get the grace. Go to the throne of grace and get God's grace. And get lots of joy. Lots of joy. Father, we thank you this morning for your incredible love and your incredible grace to us. Thank you for the manifold grace of God. Don't let it be wasted on our lives, Father. Don't let your grace be wasted. We don't want to frustrate your grace. We want to go to the throne of grace. We want to get grace to help in areas of our life like Rebecca shared, Lord. I want to get grace to forgive from some horrible things that may have happened to us, to our families, or even through us. We want to get grace. Grace to forgive. Grace to not hold a grudge. We want to get your grace. But Father, if we're going to get your grace, we need to move. We need to change our position. We need to have a greater understanding of what your grace is, so that I can go and get it. If I don't know my money's in the bank, I won't go and get it. But when I know my money's in the bank, I'll go and get it. And God, your provision of grace, of your grace, of the fullness of who you were, we have received grace, and now I possess it for grace. Father, thank you that we are full of your grace. Would you release grace, joy in our lives, Father? The grace to be joyful in the midst of a life that seems to be getting just harder and harder. Would you give us joy? Because that is another earmark of a Christian. That we're just so happy. Give us grace. Father, give these people, these precious people, grace. Grace to carry on. Grace to love in unloving circumstances. Grace not to yell and belittle. Grace to live alone. Grace not to live alone. Grace not to judge. Grace to get some more faith. We ask for your grace. Just put your hands up to the Lord. We ask for your grace. Go ahead, ask for his grace. Come on, church, just ask. Join me. Let's be out loud prayers. We need your grace, Lord. We need your grace. I need your grace. Lord, we want to be grace dispensers. We want to dispense and give out grace to each other. We want to give out grace to each other. Thank you for your grace. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace. Grace that exceeds my guilt, my shame. Grace, saving grace, thank you for it. But now grace for grace. Grace for grace. Thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. Bless you. Rebecca has a song.